leading us into the presence of the Lord. I trust our hearts would be prepared to enter into His Word, because we are desperate for His Word. Amen? We need His Word. I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the sermon if you want to use that and find that helpful. We're continuing in our series in Deuteronomy. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, understanding that they're the ten principles that God has laid out for His people then and for us now. And we want to review for just a moment, and we've seen the main point in this whole passage really is that the Lord has given us these commands, He's given us these principles because He loves us. He wants us to follow them because He loves us and He wants to be able to bless us and He wants us to show that we love Him. And so we show His principles. We follow and embrace His principles and thus show that we love Him. Then we're able to enjoy His blessings. As we live a life that He can bless, a blessable life, we are able to enjoy all that He has for us and receive His very best in our lives. So let's continue on as we look this morning about what's in a name. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, now we come to Your beautiful, precious, and holy Word. We ask that You would speak to us the truth of Your Word, impress upon us, enlighten us, give us understanding, give us revelation by Your Holy Spirit to the truth of Your Word. And Lord, may we not only hear it, but may we take it into our hearts and embrace it and obey You in it. We thank You, Father, for speaking to us and telling us Your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul Dickinson has written a book called Names. And he has a hobby of collecting strange and unusual names. And he says sometimes those names tend to be prophetic. He writes about two men in 1941 that were executed in an electric chair. And their names were Will Burn and Will Frizzle. That's their names. No joke. Recently, there was a Montreal window washer who died by accident. He fell as he was washing the windows. His name was Will Drop. I'm not making this up. It comes from his book. Others, the author Paul Dickinson says, seem destined for certain occupations. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Jeff Treadwell became a podiatrist. This is cool. Go forth and catch 'em. Two guys became police officers and partners. O'Neill and Prey became partners in selling church equipment. Wonderfully Tremble became a psychologist. Zoltan Overy became a gynecologist. P.P. Peters became a urologist. And Will Crumble became a plaster contractor. I don't think you want to hire him. Yeah. Crazy names. Well, what's in a name? What is in a name? Well, God says there's a lot in a name, especially when it's His name. As we look at this fourth command, third command, verse 11, the third principle that He gives us is this, that this third covenant term or principle is that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. We read exactly that in verse 11. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Well, let's do a biblical study for just a few minutes on the Lord's name. You will notice in your Bible, especially if you have a newer translation, some of the older translations actually keep the transliteration of the word, but you'll notice that there are certain places in the Bible that the word Lord is written there in all capitals. And Jim, if you put that slide up for that, for Lord, I'd like to show you that. You'll notice in your Bible that the word Lord is there. It's translated with all capitals. And that is because it is translating the divine name that God gave, and the best way to pronounce it for English is Yahweh. Now this comes from Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, when God interacts with Moses. And we're going to read that. Ryan Allen's going to read that for us about this interaction that God has with Moses and tells him his name.
But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you to me to you." God,
you can go ahead and read that. Go ahead.
All right. God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'"
Thank you, Ryan. He uses the Hebrew term Yahweh. An interesting thing, there are other places in the Scripture where the word Lord is not translated with all capitals. If you keep that up there for me, Jim, I'm going to refer back to it in just a minute. It's not all capitals. It's just L, capital, and then Lord. I'm sorry, just the PowerPoint. And the reason for that is that's translating a different Hebrew word. It's translating the word Hebrew word Adonai, which is a more generic term meaning master or Lord. But the divine name, Yahweh, is translated best with in the Hebrew it's a yod, a ha, a wa, and a ha again. Now in the German pronunciation, many of us are familiar with the term Jehovah, and that's because in German the y or the yod in the Hebrew is given a J sound, and the W has a V sound. So in German pronunciation it would be Jehovah. Okay, so that's where we get Jehovah. Now if you're not German, you don't need to pronounce it that way. If you're English-speaking, then the best way to translate it, or transliterate it really, and speak it, is Yahweh. Interesting thing. It's a play on words that God is doing with Moses. And he originally gave this name to Abraham. In Genesis 15:7 is what he refers to in the verse, that last verse we just read. He actually gave that name to Abraham, but he didn't explain it to Abraham. But he explains it to Moses. The word Yahweh is very close to the word or the verb of being in Hebrew. And that's why he explains, he says, "The I am has sent you." In other words, he's saying, "I am who I am. There is none like me. I am the eternal, self-existent one. There is none other like me. I exist apart from anyone and anything. I am the eternal, self-existent one. I am has sent you." You see, if you could somehow name a God, then you sort of had a special relationship with him. And of course we know in the pagan world around there, they would name their gods. And of course, who was the one giving the name to the god? They were. And you know, Moses wants to know what God's name is. Well, God, in a sense, in a play on words, he says, "I don't really have a name like you're thinking, Moses. Here's my name. I am. I am the I am." And so God's name, as we're going to see in just a minute, represents who he is, what he is, his character, his nature. It's very important. So that's a biblical study on God's name. Now there are other titles used in the Bible for God. You have El Shaddai, El Elyon, so on and so forth. They are titles meaning things that he does. But this word, and he even says it, "You shall remember my name for generations to come. I am the I am." He wants us to understand that he is the eternal, self-existent one. He doesn't exist because of us. He doesn't need us. He exists apart from His creation, and He is the one who exists from all eternity past. Well, as we understand what His name means, why does then God tell us not to misuse His name? I mean, it's a little bit self-evident, but let's talk about it. Why is God so insistent about us not misusing His name? Well, number two in this message is that your name, a name, represents three things. Your name represents three things to you, and a particular name represents three things to any one person. A, it represents your reputation. You've heard people say he or she is making a name for himself or herself. When somebody has a good reputation, they say he's got a good name or she's got a good name. Or if they have a bad reputation, they'll say, they got a bad name. Stay away from them. When I say these names to you, we'll automatically think of this person's reputation. Adolf Hitler. You think of a man who's a heinous murderer. Martin Luther King Jr. Immediately you think of a man who was a hero and a civil rights activist and advocate who brought about tremendous change in our country. Good change. Madonna. I won't even mention that one. Well, God's name represents His reputation. Yahweh. God's name represents His reputation. B, a name represents your character. When you cannot, what you are cannot be separated from what your name is once it is identified together. Now, in the Bible, we often read about, you know, parents that would name their children all kinds of crazy names. In that culture, you named a child after a certain kind of a characteristic, trusting that it would sort of like be prophetic. You want that child to grow into that kind of character quality. And so it would represent their character. Many times in the Bible, when somebody changed their character, they changed their life was changed, God gave them a new name. Right? Remember with me, Abraham. What was his first name? Abram. He became Abraham. Jacob. Did you know the word Jacob means supplanter? He was a rascal, and God changed his name and called him Israel. Simon became Peter, Petros, a rock, a pebble. See, God would change their names because He said it represents their character. God's name represents His character. And then C, a name represents authority. When a police officer stops you, he or she says, "Stop in the name of Bugs Bunny." No, of course not. There's no authority in that. You'd laugh, so just like you did. No, they say, "Stop in the name of the law." Isn't it interesting? A police officer, in and of themselves, they do not have any physical strength to stop a car, right? If a speeding car is coming down the road and they stand in the middle of the road, or you and I did that, and we put our hand up like this, we're going to get run over. We don't have enough physical strength to stop that car. Ah, but a police officer in a uniform with a badge comes out and a car is coming, maybe speeding, maybe there's something else that they need to be stopped for, an accident. They put their hand up like this, stand in the middle of the road. What happens? We stop because we know the authority they represent. Your name represents authority, whatever your authority is. When the officer says stop in the name of the law, there is authority behind that name and that title. Let me ask you a question. If you received a call from a George Brown while you were eating dinner, what would you do? You might have, you know, your spouse or one of your kids say, "Hey, you know, I'm eating. I'll call him back." Right? But if you received a call from George Bush or President Obama during the dinner hour, you would probably take the call right there. Well, you might have. It depends on what you might say. I didn't say that. But you would most likely take a call with somebody from authority. Names represent authority. And we understand that. A person's name represents authority. God says, when you misuse my name, it's no little deal. When you misuse my name, when you use it in the wrong way, it's a big deal. Hear me. It is a big deal because you are defaming His reputation, His character, and His authority. God says, it's a big deal because you're defaming me. You're defaming my reputation. You're defaming my character. And you're defaming my authority, and you're using my name flippantly. Again, verse 11. For the Lord your God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. God's serious about this. Now, inevitably we sit down to the dinner table and then the phone rings. And a lot of times I say, don't even answer it. You know who it is. It's the telemarketer calling. So if you call me at the dinner hour, I'm going to think you're a telemarketer. I'll probably let it go to the answering machine. But once in a while, we'll answer it. Or maybe it's, you know, they get smart and they call, you know, like about 7:50 or 7:55 before 8 o'clock to try and get you to answer. And I'll answer the phone. Or, you know, one of the family members will answer, one of my kids, and, you know, they immediately give the phone to me. And it's like, hello, Mr. Leonard? How are you today, my friend? Wait a minute. I am not your friend. You don't even know me. You're calling me from India. Or wherever. You know? I don't know you. Why? And you're pronouncing my name wrong. It's not Mr. Leonard. It's Mr. Leonard. See? Immediately, it kind of ticks you off that someone says your name wrong. Now, you know, if someone has just met you and they're struggling with your name, that's different. But someone who's pretending to know you, pretending to be your friend, pretending to have a relationship with you, why? They want something from you. They have an angle, right? And they're trying to have an in. We do that to God sometimes, don't we? Oh, God. Yahweh. Right? Get all messed up. Or Jehovah. You know? And what are we trying to do sometimes? We're trying to have an angle. We're trying to have an in with Him. And we've not really spent time to get to know Him. And really have that relationship with Him. And so it can be aggravating. And God, listen to me, God gets aggravated with us when we misuse His name, when we use it wrongly. Well, let's talk about it a little bit more in the few minutes that we have. Number three, there are many ways that we should avoid misusing God's name. Now, most of us think about this, you know, when we hear this, we usually think about, well, using God's name as a swear word, or sometimes it's called using God's name in vain. But there are many other ways that we should avoid misusing His name. We should avoid using God's name to swear, but we should also avoid using His name to manipulate, or we should also avoid using His name impulsively. A, we should avoid using His name, God's name, to swear. Now, the main prohibition in this command, which was given also in Exodus chapter 20, is this, that at that day there was a swearing of false oaths in the name of God. You would swear a false oath using God's name. Now, we can do that this day. Did you know that? We can actually do that this day. I swear to God, it's true. You've heard people say that. When you know it's not true, it's a lie. Well, you know, it's only partly true. Well, if it's only partly true, then it's partly untrue. And you're swearing God's name to something that is not true. You know, we've had in this country, and it's changed, unfortunately, when someone was put under oath, they used to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, what? So help me God. They don't say that anymore. Oh, we've got to keep God out of the courts. Imagine that. And they don't have you swear on the Bible anymore either. That would offend somebody. God says this. In Leviticus 19, verse 12, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. You better be sure that you're speaking the truth if you're going to invoke God's name. You're going to say, I swear to God, I am telling the truth. Well, first of all, don't swear to God. Just tell the truth. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. If you have to say the phrase, I swear to God, you're already saying to somebody, you know, my word is not really trustworthy. So don't use God's name, don't misuse it, when you know that something is not true, just to kind of bolster it, to make it seem like it is true. Now, the most common misuse is when you use God's name in swearing or profanity. You express pain or frustration or anger, or some people just do it to try to be cool. It's funny how you never hear anyone swear by saying, oh, Buddha! Or, Muhammad! You don't hear those things, do you? Why is that? You ever ask that question? Well, I'll tell you why. There's an evil one, and he knows who the one true God is. Isn't it interesting how Jesus Christ's name has become, for many, a swear word, a horrible profanity, and often used terrible expletives along with it? Isn't that interesting? You don't hear that about any other God or any other religious person. Why is it? Because there's an evil spirit of the evil one behind it. And he's trying to capture and put a stronghold on people. And there are many people that fall into that. And they use that terrible all the time. It just kind of flows out of their mouth. It's horrible. Well, we know that in America, in our culture, it's probably one of the most foul-mouthed nations in the world, and it's becoming more so. Today, we know, you know, a movie won't sell if it's rated G and it doesn't have profanity in it. Nobody wants to see it. So movie makers intentionally add profanity, and often the Lord's name is used in vain in such movies just to get the R rating because they want it to be a hit. And books and magazines and TV, even CDs are filled with profanity, often using the Lord's name in vain. I'm telling you, we should boycott it. When you can avoid it, you ought to boycott it. Sometimes, you know, we've rented a movie or watched a movie, and they start. And, you know, if it happens one time, you know, I usually say right out loud, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke it. If they say it again, that's it. I ain't watching that movie. Why would I stand there or sit there and watch a movie that's filled with language that is just misusing my Lord's name, turning His name into a swear word? I'm not going to do it. I don't want any part of it. In public places that, like work, stores, it's hard to avoid hearing it, but where we can, we ought to boycott it. We ought to just have nothing to do with it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have a habit of using the Lord's name in vain? Swearing or profanity? Do you listen to media? Do you listen to things that have the Lord's name in it? Or do you use it in a way that you're trying to make something false true? You need to ask God to search your heart. Because you see, it takes maturity. It takes God's power in us to discipline our speech. Especially when you're angry. Especially when you stub your toe against the bed. When you hit your finger with the hammer. When someone cuts you off in traffic. I know, some of you are groaning. Many of us are. By the way, it's not cool to use God's name in vain or misuse it. It's not cool at all. Especially not cool to use God's name as a swear word. But it takes discipline not to swear. It takes effort, especially when the world around us is saying it all the time and it just drags you in. We have to show maturity and self-control. We have to ask God to give us self-control so that we don't do that. You can ask Him to help you not to do it. In fact, He tells us in Psalm 29, He says, rather than use the Lord's name as a swear word, He says, give God the glory that is due His name. Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. It really bugs me when people use Jesus Christ's name as a swear word, a profanity. Because Acts 4:12, and it's interesting, Joe, you quoted it in your prayer time. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. Why would people use as a swear word, a profanity, the name of the one who's given to them so that they can be saved? It is the spirit of the evil one. It is the spirit of the age that has grabbed hold. I remember when I was working right out of college, I took a job, and I think I've shared this story before. I took a job in Boston at the Eagle Electric Company. There was a number of employees there, and most of them were not believers, and a very profane language. And there was this one fellow named Frank, and Frank was Jewish. And Frank knew that I was a Christian, and he knew I was going to become a preacher. And so he just loved to use Jesus Christ's name as a profanity. So every time, you know, he and a few guys would get around me, boy, he would just let it flow, you know. And I got tired of it. I went into his office one day and I said, you know, Frank, I really don't understand why you would use the name of Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and gave himself for your forgiveness of your sins. I don't know why you would use that as a swear word. It really bothers me. It really offends me. You know what he said to me? He said, tough. too bad. Well, I said my piece. I tried to avoid him when I could. And especially if he started in that kind of language, I would just kind of leave, you know. A couple days later, he comes and says, man, I am so angry with you. I said, why? He said, now, because every time I say Jesus Christ, as I say that, he said, I feel bad. I said, good. Good. You know what? He was feeling conviction of the Holy Spirit, whether he knew it or not. Because I was telling him the truth. Jesus Christ died for you, and you're using his name as a swear word. Jesus Christ alone. Now, I tried to say it gently, as you know, much as a 24-year-old could at the time. I'm sure I didn't have as much couth as I should have, but I told him the truth. And he was having conviction of the Holy Spirit. So we should not use God's name to swear as a profanity or a false oath or anything falsely. B, we should avoid using God's name to manipulate. Some people are pros at this. You know, they say, hey, God told me what you should do. God gave me a word and told me what you should do. That's interesting. Why didn't God tell me? God told me what's wrong with you. And here's what you need to do. God told me you're supposed to give me money. Dishonest TV evangelists do this all the time. I hate this. Oh, God's giving me a word. He's telling me there's somebody out there that should send me $1,000. Because if you don't send me $1,000, you know, we're going to have to shut the doors. We're going to have to pull the plug on the show. Pull the plug. Stop manipulating. Stop using God's name to manipulate people. Now, God says that's misusing my name. Parents can do this sometimes. We have to be careful of this. You know, you're frustrated with your kids. You've tried the restriction. You've taken away their allowance. You've spanked them. And finally, you pull out the big stick and you say, you know, if you keep on doing that, God's going to punish you. We should avoid that as parents. We should avoid that. Because you know what? God does not punish like a capricious parent. He doesn't punish us the way that we get angry and we want to punish. We want to punish out of anger, right? Sometimes you just, you know, God's not like that. In fact, He tells us He does not punish us as our sins deserve. Psalm 103. He doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. He withholds His punishment. He gives us mercy and grace. So we should avoid that, parents. Be careful of that. Spouses, we can do this in our marriage. Well, I've prayed about this, and I know God wants us to buy a Jaguar. Oh, God wants us to do it, huh? How are you going to argue with God? God told you, it must be true. Don't pull the God card. Don't do that. That's manipulation. You know, God said this to you, it must be true. Well, maybe it's not true. I warn you about using God's name in that way. Don't manipulate in using God's name because you are misusing His authority. The other thing is, if you do that kind of thing, and then one day God really does speak to you, nobody's going to believe you. You know, because you're misusing it, and so if God should truly speak to you, people are going to say, shh, I don't believe it, because you've misused His name. Let's not misuse His name and manipulate. See, we should avoid misusing God's name impulsively. Avoid using His name impulsively. Jim, put the next slide up. Everybody knows what that is, don't you? Especially young people. Oh my God. You know, many of us can fall into this trap. You use God's name as a convenient expression of amazement or surprise or an expression of fear or anger even. I just caught a 20-pound fish. Oh my God. Did you see her new phone? Oh, my God. I just split my pants. Oh, my God. You know, God's name becomes this exclamation. God's name is being reduced to a wow or a holy cow. And we should avoid it. Just having a little fun. Don't make God an exclamation point. We have to be careful even in our prayers. Sometimes, you know, we... Father God, I thank you, God, that, you know, Father, that you let us do this, God. I mean, don't use God's name as a breathing point, okay? You don't need to do that. God's name is holy, and we should give it reverence and respect. And God says, don't use my name as an exclamation. God says, when you do that, You're using it flippantly. Impulsively means without thinking. Without thinking. Did you know that you can even worship impulsively? You can. You can take the Lord's name in vain while you worship. You can misuse God's name in church. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read a reading? Maybe we have something up on the PowerPoint and you read along, right? Maybe the scripture today. We're reading along and where's your mind? Somewhere else. You checked out, you're down the road, and you're at the mall while we're reading God's Word. Or you're singing a song and you've checked out, your mind's not with it. That's using God's name in vain. You're just going through the motions, half-hearted, routine. God says in Isaiah 29:13, listen to this, people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That describe you sometimes? I know it describes me sometimes. I can fall into that if I'm not careful. I let my mind wander and drift off of the seriousness and the holiness of God's name. Don't use God's name as a filler or as an exclamation. George Barna did a survey recently, and he found that 66% of all Americans that were surveyed admit that they have taken the Lord's name in vain. Every one of us is guilty, including me, of breaking this command. And, you know, sometimes we just rationalize it. Well, you know, I didn't mean anything by it. God, you know, when I used your name flippantly, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, that's the point. Don't use His name for meaninglessness. His name is holy, and it represents Him, His character. He says, I will not let you get away with it. God is deadly serious about this. We're not talking about a minor issue here. We're talking about God's name. And listen to this. In Leviticus 24:15-16, there was a prohibition of using God's name in vain, using it, misusing it, especially for a false oath. And guess what? If you did, and you were caught taking God's name in vain, you were to be executed, stoned. How many of us would be alive if we were back then? Half our culture would be dead if we lived in a theocratic culture. It's a capital offense. How many of us would be alive? Because how many times have we let it slip out? Oh, my God. You know, don't use God's name as an exclamation. Well, let's conclude for today. Next week, we're going to go into the way we should be using His name, the proper ways to use His name. But let's not kid ourselves here. God says this is serious business. I will not tolerate my name being misused. When you cuss or misuse God's name, you are offending the Creator of the universe. Just think about it for a minute. Wouldn't it be wild if we got down to a farm of ants and we were able to listen to those little ants, right? And we bent down and we started hearing these little ants and they're using our name as a curse. What would you do? Right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Us. We are like ants to Him. And we ought not to use the Mighty One, the Creator of the universe, the One who there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. I suggest that you do not offend the Creator of the universe. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Isn't it interesting that you can talk about almost anything? Even politics, you know, people can disagree and get riled up, but man, you use the word Jesus, you start talking about Jesus and use His name, I'm talking about in a positive way, people get nervous. They get, you know, really itchy. Of course, except when it's used as a curse. Then people, you know, oh, what's the big deal? You know, God says, don't mess with my name. It represents my reputation, my character, my authority. And when we laugh, even when someone else is misusing it, they tell a dirty joke using the Lord's name, they say something foul, or they say something you know is not true, they invoke the Lord's name, and you laugh or you support it, you're partaking in their sin. You are. We are. We do it. God says, treat my name with awe. The fact is, most of us here, right now, we need to bow our heads. We need to apologize to God for misusing His name. Not realizing how serious He is about His name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for revealing your name to us, that we might know you. You don't want to be a God that is distant, that is unknowable. You want us to know you and know who you are. You want us to have a relationship with you, one that is based on respect and love and awe. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us those times that we have misused your name. Lord, we commit here this morning to use your name rightly, to avoid these things. And Father, we ask for your strength, your grace, Lord. And if there are any of us here that are struggling with a bad habit, that, Lord, by your power, we would be able to break that and not use your name this way, but use it in a way that would honor and exalt and glorify you. Lord, we desire to lift up your name among all men and all people, the name of Jesus Christ, because you say that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess because of the name you gave your Son, the name that is above every name, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention to the Word and your patience as we are dismissed. If you have a prayer need for any reason, we invite you to come and receive prayer. We bless you guys. Remind you again, please write your name on the pad there if you would like Cleve to write to you over the summer. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the afternoon. Amen.